By listening to the Fifi, Fev and Byron catch up, you can pause it at any time. With iPrimus, you can pause your internet bill so you won't pay when you go on holiday. Visit iPrimus.com.au.
I saw this online today. This great looking guy. He's good looking. He's. I know. I've said that twice. As if that's a thing. I guess I'm saying this because he cannot find a date. He's gone out and said, "I am single. Girls aren't interested in me." And I've just noticed in the photo, you go, "Well, he's a handsome man." And when I say this, traditionally handsome, mm-hmm. in that he's a rugby player.
Right.
He's. You know. I'm surprised. Anyway, I read further, and he believes the reason he cannot lock down a girl or a date is because of his profession.
Rugby player?
Well, he plays rugby in his downtime, but he's an undertaker.
Ooh.
And he said it makes it really hard to date.
It's fascinating.
And meet women. And I actually thought about that because I looked at him and you go, yeah, there's, you know, pleasing on the eye. And I was even reading the article. He's funny. And I think because he works as an undertaker, he's developed quite a good sense of humour, because I guess that's the way you deal with that profession.
Uses his jokes on the corpse.
Any?
No one will be laughing back.
But anyway, I thought, he's got a good sense of humour.
You'd have to make light of various situations.
Just lie and say you do something else.
Well, you could do that, but what sort of start to a relationship is that?
Well, like, then you get into it. You're 6 months in, she's in love, you're in love, and you go, "I didn't want to tell you because I'd struggled to get a girlfriend because of my job and I felt really awkward. It's a real problem of mine." Oh, you're the best.
Can I take that role? Because if we're doing this role play, I can't believe you lied to me. You're not who you said you were. If you can lie about that, you can lie about anything. We're done.
Then I'll say, "You're dead to me."
And I'll go, "That's quite funny, undertaker."
Good gear. And then all is forgiven.
And then we,
But it did make me think, I wonder, like, it's people often blame lots of things for the fact that they are single and they struggle to meet people. And I think even, and I'm going to call it, I reckon breakfast radio is a hard job to find a relationship because you're working. If you don't come into it in one, it's quite difficult. You're working different hours, so you can't go out at night, so you miss all the social activities at night, and you're tired all the time. And then when you start dating and your boyfriend or girlfriend says, "Oh, I want to go out for dinner tonight," you're kidding? I'll be in bed at 5. So it can be quite difficult.
Unless you have an Uber Eats in bed.
There you go.
Well, you do that a lot.
Now, 131060, out of interest, does anyone listening think that their job makes it difficult to meet someone?
Okay.
For whatever reason, it might just be because of the time that it consumes. Or it might be because it's not a sexy job. Yeah. Like people go, "Oh,
your uncle who's a spy. How's that to go for him?"
Well, I think you'll find that's a secret.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
We were talking about this guy and he's gone on social media to say that he's having trouble finding a date and finding a lady friend because of his job. And he's uploaded photos. He's an outdoors rugby player. He's really handsome. He looks great. And he no doubt has a great cracking personality. But he thinks being an undertaker has made it hard to meet women. And it's an interesting one. Because we talk about all the reasons why you struggle to find love. But jobs. To think that you could have a job that means people aren't interested in you, that would be tough.
Fair. It would be tough.
Why do you think that this guy is having trouble finding a date?
I don't know. It's a bit stiff, maybe.
Yay! There it is. He's been doing gags.
He's very
all
good.
Through that
He's
song.
He's very good.
Leon doesn't think I'm funny.
Have you got another one quickly before we move on? What else might he be doing? The other joke you told. Laying around. Okay.
This is all off air.
It's good comedy
it's not
gold.
On air.
Now we've got Samantha in Seaford.
Where's Dave?
Hi, Sam.
Hi, good morning, guys. How are you?
Yeah, good, Sam. Do you have a job that you think might be getting in the way of you finding love?
Absolutely. I'm a nurse. So I work shift work. I've just gotten home from night shift now, and you better believe it, I'm not going out on any dates this week.
See, you're right. Shift work can be a killer for your love life.
Maybe a nurse, and not none of us, we're all taken. A nurse and a breakfast radio host would be great because
we'd just sleep all day together.
We're coming home soon.
Oh, that's if I'm working night shift all the time, but it's shift work, so
you're
it's always
right.
changing.
And because of that, Sam, I'm guessing that you can't have any consistency Because even if you met someone and they're like, okay, well, I'll take, oh, well, then let's go out for dinner. And then you're like, no, I'm working. And then, okay, I'll go for breakfast. Oh, shift changed. I now go out for, I'm now working during breakfast.
Yeah, that's exactly how it goes.
But if Sam's doing night shift, you just bring her in some takeout and have it together in the common room.
That's true. But on the upside, Sam, I mean, a nurse is a really attractive career, though. Like, I think that would be attractive.
Just going to have a lot of patients.
Oh, I bet you have patients fall in love with you all the time.
Oh, well, I work with kids, so naturally.
Oh, okay, Fief, that's enough. Thank you for your call there, Samantha. We do appreciate it. No, we didn't know.
Michelle in Melbourne. Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
Hey, Michelle. Michelle, do you have a profession that maybe makes it difficult to find love?
Well, this is going to sound really strange, but I'm a managing director of a company, and I think Australian men are just really insecure. Then when they find out you're in twice as much of them, they get weird and threatened.
I would love that.
That would be amazing.
No. I have Alex. He's more than me.
You are, and you're right, Fev. But you know what, Michelle, you're onto something there, because I reckon that is absolutely the case. There are women in really, you know, big powerful positions like yourself, and guys will say, no, I'd love that. I'll be, you know, stay-at-home dad. I'd love that. But when push comes to shove, I agree, not all men do like that, Michelle.
No, they don't. And if you're in America, they're like, wow, bring it on. But Australian men just find that a big turn-off.
That's embarrassing for Australian men.
I don't understand that. I did that boxy when I finished footy. Alex went out and started Runway Room by herself.
Yeah.
And I was a stay-at-home dad. Loved it that she was going out working.
Yeah, and I think there are men that
and
do.
And earning a crap load of money.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great.
Good luck, Michelle. You'd like to think that there's Melbourne guys out there that would love a powerful, strong
leader. No, it's so true. And look, I think in a few generations' time that you'll go, really? But I just think we're still, you know, it's not that long ago. No. Like our parents' generation, that was a bit what? But so I think with time, guys will be more accepting of it. And don't get me wrong, there are lots of guys like Fev that are right up for it. Dee in Ivanhoe. Hi, Dee.
Hey.
Hey, Dee. Hey. Do you have a job that can be a turn-off?
No, I don't have a job, but I thought I might just let you know that I've been on a date with an undertaker.
And?
He doesn't sound as nice as the guy that you guys have been speaking about. He was actually a little bit creepy.
Oh, so that's sort of that unfortunate stereotype. What do you mean?
Well, he was ticking all the right boxes. He was like, I'll come over, I'll cook you dinner. He was training to be a Melmot. It was great. And we had great conversation, and then he invited me over. He cooked me chicken heart. And he kept breathing into my ear.
Is his name Hannibal?
No.
Chicken hearts and breathing in your ear.
Sorry, Fev, just hit a Hannibal gear joke in there.
Look, it's funny. Let's defend the undertaking profession, and obviously other undertakers aren't creepy like that. That's just a creepy guy, hopefully.
No, but it was just like a
chicken hearts for dinner.
That's disgusting.
I know.
Did you eat one, Dee?
I didn't know what else to do.
It's almost like he was trying to turn you off.
I don't know. I wasn't into it.
I don't think Dee's helping other single undertakers in Melbourne with this.
But I'd like to know. I think that undertaking is it's a great profession in that I think they get paid very well too.
It will always be an industry.
People, it's a noble profession. It needs to be done.
Dead
flies.
Okay.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
Hey, guys. I've been keeping a little bit of a secret from you guys and everyone. I'm not sure if you noticed, but looking a little bit slimmer over here.
You have. You look great, Fev. Now, you've lost a lot of weight and you know, Byron and I have been aware of something that you've been doing.
Yes.
And now you're going to fess up and tell everyone why you're looking so schmick.
Yes, I started a diet the week I got my operation. So it goes all the way back to then, about 2 months ago.
Mm.
I'm the new ambassador for, wait for it, Jenny Craig.
Look at you.
It's now public.
It's public, yes. I signed up with Jenny Craig about 2 months ago, and it was a goal of mine last year to get a Jenny Craig deal.
What? I'm not even kidding.
Because I was really fat.
You set a goal to get a Jenny Craig deal.
Don't you remember when he was having two Jaffles a morning and he would walk out and he'd say, my aim is to get a deal at Jenny Craig?
You were unusual.
But I was saying that as a joke.
And I know,
actually,
you
but
were.
But it actually happened. Anyway, I've signed up at Jenny Craig and they're great. And it's literally, you know, when you sign up to diets, and I've never really been on a diet before, but I've actually done it without exercising because I wasn't able to do any exercise. So I started at 127 kilos.
Ooh,
big boy. And I've lost 14, so I'm over halfway. And you can't really say anything until you get to the halfway mark.
Well, that's why you haven't told anyone.
That's why I haven't told anyone, because when you sign on, and if you say, if I had to come in and said, I'm on Jenny Craig, and then got fatter, really not good for right. the
So that was
company.
Part of the deal.
So that's part of the deal.
You have to establish trust.
I've got about, I've got 8 kilos to go, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
And the food, my God, like I literally brag about it, because it, you know, when you think about a diet, you think, oh, the food's not going to be great. But this food is unbelievable. Like, I'm having burgers and fettuccinis and nice pastas, roast chickens. You put in the mic, you zap it up, and it's all about portion control. And that's something when I played footy, I didn't really have to worry about, because I was training so much, I could just eat what I wanted and I'd burn it off. But then I put that into my normal day living, and it just, I blew up like I've been stung by 85 bees.
You've been very disciplined.
And
you've
I have been very
boy.
Disciplined, and I've and all thanks to my consultant. So the best thing about Jenny Craig is you have a consultant.
Don't turn this into an
no,
episode
no, no.
of...
Is it coming a little bit like an advertorial?
No, this is not, this is
it's
not
an infomercial
an ad,
now.
Rita looks after... Mate,
Rita, or is it Moira?
No, Rita.
Okay, just checking.
And literally, the other day, we had people over, and I was about to have a can of Canadian Club, and I thought, I can't really drink this because it's got a lot of calories in it. And as I opened it, she rang. And I'm like, what the hell? Are there cameras everywhere?
Are you saying the counsellor's a psychic at Jenny?
Mate, I reckon she is. But it stopped me from drinking it, which was good. And she's great. You go in there and you weigh in every week. So I get nervous when I weigh in. It's like I'm playing footy again.
You are playing footy. You're training tonight.
Yeah, training tonight. But so I'm on Jenny Craig. On a diet. Great. It's great.
You look great,
I feel good.
We're
no,
really
I actually feel really good. It's
you do.
I must have been, but I'd look in the mirror and think I looked amazing, but I didn't.
You did look good. I've always thought you look good.
Mm. So
you look really fit and fabulous.
I'm shredding. So I've got Big Jace onto it. He's on it as well.
Yeah, your brother.
My
good
brother's
on him.
On it as well.
I tell you what, I feel for, there's always two sides to the story though, Fief. Like, this is great news for the Jenny Craig organisation. Horrible news for Uber Eats.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
So Christmas is on its way, 3 weeks away, and I think I've said this to you before. So now that Trixie's four, this is the first year she's right into it. So last year was still a Christmas where she didn't really get it, and even the Christmas tree and all the presents, she didn't want to open them all. And I'm like, okay, you still don't understand how exciting this is. But this year, right up for it.
Yes.
And I knew I was sort of coming into a busy few months. So about 2 months ago, I think it was September, I did a lot of Christmas shopping.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Great effort, Boxy.
Thank you. I just went, right, I'll get a bit organised. Anyway, I've done that. Now, Trix, obviously at kinder, they're talking about it and she's getting into it. So every day she's coming home with a
new
list
request
for Santa.
Yep.
But I've tried to explain to her that you can only really send Santa one list, and then he's busy making stuff with
everyone
the elves.
Else, yep.
So you can't keep adding to the list.
Okay,
but then she'll come home and go, just one more thing to add to my list, Mum.
Santa started very, very early, though. Santa started in September.
Oh, I mean, Santa.
That's too early.
Totally. And to make the gifts and to all the trouble that he goes to with the elves.
No, but trends change. Santa should not have started this in September.
Oh, I know. He's got to get ahead of himself, isn't he? Now, this was really cute, though. I got home yesterday. I've got to read you the note, because obviously Trixie can't write.
I was going to say, if she's written a note on your notes on the iPhone, she's well above four.
No, she has. Well, she can write her name and does it backwards, which is another thing, which is quite funny. But she did actually, I'm going to show you this, Fev. You won't be able to read it, but she has, with the help of Mum, tried to write. See, that is actually, she's learnt. So this letter, and it's sort of indecipherable. I can't really understand what she's saying, but it says this, how cute. Dear Santa, I would like a unicorn and a tiger with a rubber ducky. And anyway, so I had a little chat with her and I went, this is the cutest. I will absolutely pass this on to Santa. Just a couple of things. So Santa might have trouble finding a unicorn and a tiger. Like he'll probably have to figure out you can either get a unicorn or a tiger.
Unicorns are back in. Lulu's all over the unicorn. Massive. Yeah.
And then I said, and I did know, I know the rubber ducky she's talking about. And I do know because Santa sent me a note to say I'm really struggling to find that particular soft toy.
Right.
That Trixie's after. So I said to her, now, you know, and I told you Santa's really struggling with that particular duck that you really like. And so you might not get it for Christmas. But that's okay because Santa can't get you everything.
Sure.
And then she said to me, no, Mummy, you don't understand. the rubber duckies for the tiger because he needs to eat something.
Jeez, that's quite graphic.
It went from cute to really creepy and
horrifying.
Is she watching NCIS and all those shows with you?
I think my crime, I do watch a lot of crime television and I might have to back off.
You know what you need to get her? There's an amazing app. It's a Santa app where Santa calls.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, it's on iTunes. Download it and you can use it sort of to be good because if you're not good, Santa will ring up and then you can say, you can actually ring up Santa and Santa goes, ho, ho, ho. And he says good day to the kids and he says he's on his way.
That's
amazing. It's the best app ever.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
Fev, you make me laugh. I really love working with you.
Great.
So I did something really exciting with Trixie the other day. So Trix is right into Aladdin. We listen to the Aladdin soundtrack in the car all the time. Did you know I know the lyrics to Friend Like Me?
Yeah.
The classic Genie song.
Yeah.
I know every lyric because we listen to it that often.
I've got the actual performance here when the whole cast joined us here at the Fox. Let me take your order. Sing along to it, Pete.
Down, you ain't never had a friend like me. Give me something harder. If he's your restaurant and I'm your maitre d'.
Very good.
Whisper what it is you want. You ain't never had a friend like me.
Nailed it.
It's the best.
No, I don't think I've ever had a friend like you.
Okay, so she loves it. So we went to see Aladdin. Incredible show. And it's still got about 6 or 7 weeks at Her Majesty's Theatre. So I really recommend take kids. But as an adult, I loved it. Such a great visual spectacular.
My kids want to go.
And Trixie, she sleeps every night with a Princess Jasmine doll. She loves Princess Jasmine. She's got the fancy dress costume. So I was like so pumped about her watching this. And I happened to, I'm very grateful for this because we've had Michael James Scott in the studio and a dear friend of yours, Byron Linda.
Oh, Linda's
she
great.
She said, well, Fifi, do you want to come backstage and meet the cast with Trixie? And I'm like, yes.
Amazing.
Like, I was pretty excited about that. But, yeah, Trixie would love that. Would blow her mind, Fev, to meet, Princess Jasmine.
Yeah, it's amazing that Trixie's life at home just was on stage. Yeah. Whenever she wants anything, you just rub the bottle. All
Mum's
the stuff
a genie.
Comes out.
No, so anyway, I told her before, and I said, guess what, sweetheart? You're going to get to meet Aladdin and Princess Jasmine and the genie. I don't want to.
Oh.
Well, no, what do you mean? Of course you want to. And this is the thing. Trixie's a little bit shy, and that's fine because I was a really shy kid. I was super shy. I'd stand behind Mum's dress and I wouldn't talk to people. So I was like, okay, this might be genetic. That's okay. I'll work with it. But the poor little thing, she was so nervous about it, even like halfway through the show, they're up there doing a song and dance number.
I was in her mind. She had to meet him.
And Trixie even said to me, Mummy, I want to go straight home after the show. And I'm like, yeah, Mummy's organised something special, so we're doing it. So anyway, I've after the show.
Mummy's organised something special.
It's not about you, Mummy.
It's not about you, Mummy.
But the thing is, in my mind, I'm like, but if she gets a photo with them, that will be a great memory. And she can always think, oh, I met Princess Jasmine and Aladdin. So anyway, we've gone backstage and there they are, Aladdin, the Princess Jasmine, Michael James Scott, the genie,
great.
Brilliant performers. And I walk out, guys, so good to meet you and see you.
Honey.
And anyway, Trixie didn't come. I've looked back. I'm like, oh, you're kidding me. So she's like back around the corner side of stage. I've gone and got her. I've carried her. She face planted my chest and did not move her face.
Oh.
And they were trying to get a little reaction out of her.
Really trying
nothing.
To do it.
And then I was that weird, needy mum that I'm becoming, which is I've got to work on. But so we stood to pose for a photo. And the guy taking the photo was saying, Trix, look at the camera. I'm like, Trixie, look at the camera. Please, sweetheart. Mummy will get you a treat. Do you want some popcorn when we leave? Come on, please. Can you just look at the camera? Look at the camera. Anyway, no photos of her with them because she would not look
just
at the camera.
Just not impressed.
Even Princess Jasmine was sort of whispering in her ear going, oh, hi, it's me, Princess
nothing.
Jasmine.
You know when you try to be really nice to kids and they're like, and they just give donuts.
They give you nothing sometimes.
Yeah. I've done that with Trixie a bit.
She gives you nothing, does she?
And I just want to peel that back a little bit. Remember how she said Mummy's organised something? Wasn't Uncle Byron organised?
Yeah, I think
that?
Uncle Byron was actually a major part of making that dream come true. But that's cool.
She cries a lot around you too.
All right, great. Sometimes kids just aren't impressed. It doesn't matter. In the adult world, something seems very impressive, Fief. And in this case, it just hasn't impressed little Trixie.
No, and
this can happen.
I was saying to her, one day you'll be able to say I met Princess Jasmine, and I need that photo to prove it to you because you're only four. But as a four-year-old, no, you're not loving something.
Yeah.
And the kids can be very hard to impress. And 13, 10, 60, have you had trouble impressing your kids? It's like, do you know what it's a little bit like? Mm. And I can even hear my parents in my ear at the moment. Like when back at school, when you just like wagged art class, or you went, I don't need art one day. Not that I ever did that. But and your parents go, we're paying your school fees. And you're like, oh, I'm sorry.
I don't get it.
I don't think my school had fees.
Or you go to a holiday and your kids don't take it for, they don't realise, I've spent a lot of money on this holiday. Enjoy it.
They're kids. Fancy that. 13, 10, 60, when your kids were not impressed. Let's see how we go right after the break with Fifi, Fev and Byron.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
I took Trixie to the fabulous production of Aladdin at Her Majesty's Theatre. It was such a great afternoon, and she just wasn't as appreciative of the meet and greet as I thought she would. Now, admittedly, she's four, so she doesn't get how big that is. It's like you're meeting the genie and Princess Jasmine and Aladdin. And she wouldn't look at them, wouldn't talk to them. It was so shy, wouldn't even take a photo with them. And I thought, okay, this is new to me. Like, I just assume when you do something nice for a child, actually, they love it.
Trixie not being impressed with things isn't new to this show, though. If you recall, over the years, she's had various meetings with members of Sesame Street gave them nothing.
Yeah, but you know what? Trixie's giving nothing is just shy.
Yeah.
Like, you're right. We sat here with the Cookie Monster. She loves the Cookie Monster. Wouldn't talk to him, wouldn't look at him. Elmo. Nothing. And Elmo really tried hard.
Elmo tried really hard.
You cannot get a reaction from my child. But it can be sort of embarrassing as a parent, but you try not to be embarrassed. Casey in Heathmont. Hi, Case.
Good morning.
Casey,
how's it going?
Yeah, good. Good. Have you had that sort of frustration as a parent where your kids aren't appreciating something?
Well, no. I was the Trixie in my situation.
Oh, who did your parents want you to meet?
Well, not so much meet per se, but be involved in a wedding that I was the flower girl at. So it became a sort of situation where the four-year-old me, who had been up all night with her hair in rags, so this is the 80s.
Yeah.
So I haven't slept all night, and now I'm expected to smile and pose and be happy about it? Come on.
Oh, that's what... Did you throw a full tanty, Casey, or just not give it anything?
I gave it a full tanty and then also refused to be in any photos for the entire day.
Oh, wow. And that would have, even though you're only four and you can't really get angry with a four-year-old, the bride would have hated you.
Hey, Casey, did you feel the pressure of everyone saying, oh, you got to do this, you got to do that, and you're just like at the end, I don't want to do it? If no one put pressure on you, you'd probably do it.
Well, I was cranky. I was tired. I just wanted to have a nap. I just wanted to have some fun. I don't give a crap about photos. I'm for giving my Cabbage Patch doll.
Exactly.
I love it. Thanks, Casey. Kim in Montrose. Hi, Kim.
Sorry, I'm just having some issues with the phone.
Yeah, I noticed.
There they are.
Hey, Kim.
Hi, how are you?
Good, Kim. Kim, have you had trouble impressing a child?
Yes, my brother was in Dora the Explorer, the stage show.
Yeah.
And he played the monkey, and I took my four-year-old daughter at the time to go and see him and, you know, said, we're going to see Dora the Explorer. She was super excited. And then I said, I've got a really big surprise for you afterwards, similar to your story.
Mm-hmm.
My brother had organised for us to go backstage, and so I took her backstage, and she just... absolutely froze.
I know.
Would not talk to anyone. And I said, babe, this is your uncle. It's Unky Bryce.
Oh.
And she's like, no, it's not. It's a monkey. And I'm like, no, it's not. And my brother took off their costume head and she started screaming.
Oh, yeah, you can't take off the head.
No, that ruins
Never
everything.
Never take off the head.
Oh.
Yeah, but she was so distressed that, you know, like she was, he did it because he wanted to show her that it was okay.
Backpack.
Just lost it.
Wow.
Oh, great show, Dora the Explorer.
I love that, though. Now, I do feel sorry for little kids. It's the freezing. They're so scared.
Where's the map?
Amelia in Templestowe. Hi, Amelia.
Hi, guys. Love the show.
Oh, thanks, Amelia. Now, what about you? Have you got a child or were you the child?
No, well, my two sons, we took them to Disneyland in Hong Kong, and they were not impressed.
Hang on a second.
Funny you should mention that.
Funny.
Why weren't they impressed, Amelia?
Well, to be fair, the youngest one was a year and a half, and the oldest was 4.5. But still, we really played it up and, like, really excited. We're going to, I mean, this is something I dreamed about as a kid for years. So, got there and they were just hot and just tired and could care less. And I remember very clearly standing in front of Disneyland and one in the stroller and saying to them, "You will smile."
Just take it down to Luna Park and say, "It's the same thing."
Very similar.
Out of interest, Amelia, did you enjoy Disneyland Hong Kong?
Yeah, I did. Thank you very much. I thought it was everything I always wanted it to be. So
there you go.
It's all very interesting, this whole area of conversation, isn't it, Faith? Because we might have had a...
Trixie's gone to Disneyland when she was two.
Mm-hmm.
Still nothing.
Okay.
It's very hard to believe.
Great.
Just stay in your lane, mate.
Well, I was just...
Why? You were not in your lane.
Well, we'd had a chat off air about maybe some plans you were thinking... potentially.
What are you doing?
You were thinking about actually going to that particular place.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
Friendship is lovely. It's a wonderful thing. And it's so nice when friendships happen in unlikely circumstances. This is a beautiful story that's gone viral. A 22-year-old man was playing words with friends online and he met 86-year-old Roz. Now, Roz lived in, where is it? Florida, and he was in Harlem. So, okay, so we're talking East Coast. Oh, they're both on the East Coast, but he's up near New York, and she's down in Florida in the United States.
Yeah.
So they've been playing words with friends, gotten to know each other, little friendships formed. They've played over 300 games. And I love this. He ended up saying she's a really good friend of mine.
That's nice.
And he sent a message on Twitter saying, lovely lady, Roz, we've been mates and we've been playing words with friends. Well, it so inspired people on social media that then the next minute he has been sent out to Florida to meet her and they've had this beautiful moment where they've hugged and it's just melted hearts across the internet because, you know, the simplest things, a little game of essentially Scrabble on your app.
Yeah.
And dear Roz, 86, living in a retirement village, little does she know she's going to become friends with a 22-year-old called Spencer up in Harlem.
That's cool.
And now they're just great friends. And I love the fact that they, through the help of obviously other people funding it, they've ended up meeting and having this beautiful moment.
It's
I love
amazing.
That. Well, it's just an unlikely friendship. But, Fev, you love words with friends.
Yes, and I'm just looking at one of my friendships that I had with the great Dee Dee, who's...
Dee Dunleavy.
Did the...
she Dee worked Dee on Fox. Grubby and Dee Dee.
Grubby and Dee Dee. Yeah. And I worked with them back in 2012. So that was, 5 years ago? No, 2011. 6 years ago.
You worked on the radio with her.
Did a bit of radio stuff with them for a year, and we started playing words with friends. And we're 350 games in, and DD is on 246, and I'm on 49.
Cleaning up.
She's smashing you.
Yeah, she's smashing me. She's very good at it, but we often chat over the... Over
she's a
friends?
Dear friend of mine too.
Yeah.
So do you learn chat about what you've got in common? Namely me.
No, you don't come up much.
But that's an unlikely friendship. We've kept that on for nearly 7 years.
Yeah,
sort of
bad boy footy player Fev with, popular radio host DD. I don't think people go straight away, of course they'd be friends.
Oh, they'd say two great radio hosts. So we've got a little bit in common.
They would definitely say that.
But I remember when I mentioned words with friends the other day, so I haven't played for a
while. I wasn't here, fortunately.
Oh, God.
That's quite
I said my name over words with friends, and I haven't played. It's been bombarded.
Yeah, we gave Melbourne Fev's ID, so that was a problem.
That's what happens when I'm not here. So, but I do like the idea of unlikely friendships. And, that's a nice friendship, Fev. You're right. People wouldn't think you and Dee Dee were necessarily friends, and there you are playing words with friends. But I love this. An 86-year-old with a 22-year-old, and they're just great mates.
Yeah.
And they've never found each other in other circumstances. 131060, have you got an unlikely friendship? Like, have you made friends with somebody.
Maybe during the break,
that nobody would necessarily expect you to.
Do you ever think about whether you have an unlikely friendship with someone, FIFA, or then maybe they're standard or likely?
Unlikely friendships I've got.
We'll give it some thought.
Oh, no, I've got an unlikely friendship. I'll tell you about my unlikely friendship after this.
Good sell.
Do you know DD's had 1,210 wins?
That's a solid record. We'll come back to your calls.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
We're talking about unlikely friendships. Because of this beautiful story. I love this. It's gorgeous. So a 22-year-old man, he's up in Harlem, New York, and he befriends an 86-year-old woman in a retirement village down in Florida, and they play Words with Friends for years. And they've played 300 games. They've actually become friends online. And then he flew to Florida to her retirement village to meet her. It's just gorgeous. And you look at it and it's just like, you don't expect that, but it's one of those beautiful, nice friendships. And I did say I had an example. It was actually through my mum, really. My mum met a couple on a train over in Europe, and they're an American couple. And when I went over to stay in New York for a few months, a couple of years ago, I hung out with them. And Noah is at the moment, he's 93. His name's Noah Keane, and he's like an old school actor. Like he used to be in like Columbo and all those.
Orient Express,
probably. Yep. MASH. I think he's been in a couple of those
shows.
He's
been in everything ever.
And he and I, we email each other now. So like just email, he asks how the magpies are going. He just thinks that's funny, you know, to talk about magpies because we've got magpies here, koalas.
Oh, yeah, all the wild animals. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it's just when you have a friendship with someone, you go, woo. You wouldn't expect to be mates with a 93-year-old over in New York.
Even
we're pen pals.
Even the unlikely friends of Fiefs are all celebrities. Have you noticed? It's amazing.
I've got a few unlikely friendships. One was Bonnie Lithgow, who I was in the jungle with, who's a lady. She's a lady, Bonnie Lithgow. She is all about dance and so not in my world.
Very prim and proper.
But yeah, very. All she knows is first class and never camped before. And I was so ocker and bogan to the other end. And we become really good mates. But I think I told a story last year when I went to Turtle Island on that trip that Toadie made me by. And there was a guy named Ian. And he lives in New York and he's a financial business broker and he only deals with people's contracts that are like 300 million that are all the baseballs. Gee. And he's the rudest man you've ever met. He just
and
so
you get along like a house on fire.
No, we did. He would whinge about everything. He's not buying, whinges about a lot.
Oh, come on.
And this guy, we literally had nothing in common.
Yeah.
But we were like best mates. And we still email each other to this day. And when I was over at the Super Bowl, we went to Vegas and he was there and we hung out for the night. We had breakfast and it's like weird.
That's so cool. Now, you had a go at me for because my unlikely friend was famous. You're going to have a go at Fev for being friends with millionaires?
Yeah, yeah, just friends with really loaded people. You guys are so relatable.
Yeah, but he didn't realise that we got the they paid full price for all their stuff. Mm. We got it at an auction.
Oh,
we
paid of course,
we paid like 10% of what it was valued at. We acted like we were rich, but we weren't.
Madison in Oakley. Hi, Madison.
Hi, Fifi.
Madison, do you have an unlikely friendship?
I have a very unlikely friendship in the girl that my ex cheated on me with.
Whoa. Wow.
Madison, geez, the other calls are going to be good.
Please talk us through how that ever happened.
Well, after they broke up, because he ended up cheating on her as well, she, added me on Facebook, and then I was like, that's a bit weird, I'm not going to add her, but then she sent me a Facebook message and was pretty much like, hey, so I just wanted to let you know that, I did know about you the whole time, and I think there's a few things that we need to talk about. We both obviously have issues with this guy, and I think it would be helpful for the both of us if we could just catch up and talk about a few things.
Whoa, and then just a friendship came from it.
Yeah, well, turns out that we're both very similar, which I guess kind of makes sense because we dated the same guy.
Yeah, it's actually there's something in that. Like if he's got a type, then if you've dated a guy, then there's a fair chance his ex, you're going to get along famously.
This could happen more often. I mean, this should happen all the time. But thank you, Madison, for your call.
Morgan in Clayton. Hi, Morgan.
Hi.
Morgan, have you got an unlikely friendship that you didn't see coming?
Yeah, so my boyfriend plays the Xbox online. a lot. And so he's made two friends, actually, and we talk to them nearly every single day. They're from America. One's from New York and one's from Las Vegas. And, we FaceTime them and I'm friends with one of the wives. And yeah, we talk pretty much every single day.
So Morgan, so when your boyfriend's sitting down playing COD and he's got the headphones on and the microphone, he's talking to his friend in Vegas, you're on FaceTime talking to his girlfriend?
Not quite. Not always.
Oh, that'd be grass if it was.
You should arrange to meet up, Morgan.
I'd love. We are. Hopefully we're going to go over there next year.
Do like a couple's holiday.
That'd be crazy. Right. They could go to like a giant time zone together.
That is really cool.
That'd be brilliant.
It'd be play like the claw game.
Yeah, you'd do it in real life.
Like, win some toys.
Sarah in Parkdale. Hi, Sarah.
Skill Hi, tester. Fifi.
Sarah, have you got an unlikely friendship?
I do. It's quite a similar story to the Words With Friends one.
Oh, yeah.
It was by accident, actually. I thought I was playing with a friend and I got her username wrong and I was playing away and I get this message saying, I'm in Oklahoma, where are you? And I said, what are you doing in Oklahoma and why don't you know where I am? Because I thought it was my friend and it turns out it was a retired librarian from Oklahoma.
Oh, so with the same name as your friend?
Yeah, well, it was similar. I thought I got it right, but it was wrong.
And now you're buddies.
And now we're buddies.
How long were you playing before you realised it wasn't your friend?
Oh, about two games. Two or three games.
That's great.
But that was 7 years ago.
Sarah was like, oh, gosh, she's a bit smarter than what I thought.
She's a librarian from Oklahoma, as it turns out. Thank you, Sarah.
I love that. Do you know what? Do you remember that app Draw Something where you'd draw a line and then you'd... someone else online would have to finish the drawing.
I think that often
got
a bit rude.
I remember playing with a guy once I didn't know who it was, and I remember going, what's happened here?
Oh, was there a bit of chemistry?
I didn't go back onto that.
Right.
No.
Wow. Okay. Sounds like more of that story will be shared off air.
You've just listened to The Catch-Up, the most flexible way for you to get Fifi, Fev and Byron. For the most flexible internet you can get, it has to be iPrimus. Visit iPrimus.com.au.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.